That's Chris Bussard. This is Doug Gottlieb filling in for Chris Carter and Nick Wright. How are you guys doing? Good to see you.
Still got the new fill-in smell.
We're all
like
fresh.
New car.
We're all fresh.
Kind of mixed in with suits and hairspray.
I'm just excited to be with you guys. That's a heck of a backcourt right there.
The whole, this gets 3-on-3. As far as TV,
we could actually,
you were guarding
a good, right?
Yeah. You can handle the rock.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Do we have anyone out there that wants to play us?
We could play in the big three. I've been watching.
We'd be in the little three. This is some grown men.
The little three is right. All right, well, we're going to start with former Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant, who still doesn't have a new team and isn't very happy with his old one after Cowboys CEO Stephen Jones said that Dak Prescott will have a better season without Dez Bryant in his ear. Dez, he unleashed on Twitter Friday evening, "Here we go with that scapegoat bleep. I charged everything to the game and went the other way. Y'all know what the real problem is. Don't put it on me with that bleep. Garbage bleep play calling. Everybody lined up in the same spot for 17 weeks. Then, in response to someone tweeting that Stephen Jones is clueless, Dez tweeted, "He's not clueless. Jerry was the only one who was clueless. Bleep was planned to get me out as Travis. And my brother, Snake Lee, I mean Sean Lee." Lee had this to say.
"First thing to say that I can get anybody off the team and have any input on the roster is absurd. Second thing, I love Dez and I want the best for him. You know, to be honest, we did butt heads because I wanted Dez to be more accountable to this team and his teammates. And to be honest with you, a lot of the team felt that way. I think he needs to look at himself and hold himself accountable."
I'm not sure I ever said bleep so much in a 1 minute.
Oh, I thought Dez tweeted out bleep. I thought it was super mature of Dez to be
out bleep. Of course. Chris, what do you make of Dez's Twitter rant?
Well, when I first saw them, I was like, here we go again. It just played so much into his reputation. You saw the video we ran of him being a hothead. And I said, here we go again. And I actually thought, you know what? If I'm the Browns, I got to leave him alone. I got to stay clear of this guy. I don't need him near Baker Mayfield. I don't want him ruining all the good vibes we have now going into training camp. However, when I found out the full context of the story and how SiriusXM NFL Radio mistweeted, I guess is the word, you know, they put out the wrong quotes. When you really look at what Stephen Jones said, it was actually fairly complimentary of Dez, and he mentioned Jason Witten along with Dez as two guys that would be in Dak's ear as veterans. He called them both great players, by the way. So the quote was innocuous, maybe even complimentary, but Sirius tweeted out a really inflammatory quote and cut it in half and things like that. And I understood why Dez got upset. On top of that, the Jerry Jones was clueless quote appears to be Dez was talking about Jerry had nothing to do with this conspiracy theory that he thinks was going on in Dallas with Sean Lee and, you know, and some Jason Garrett and these guys to get him out of there. He feels like Jerry was clueless about that, not a clueless idiot like it appeared to be. So when I looked at all that, I said, you know what? I'm not going to hold this against Dez Bryant. Should he have maybe let it go and ignored it? Yeah, I get that. But I'm not going to hold it against him that he went at them when he looked like it looked like they were scapegoating him. And a lot of people are looking at it like this, Doug, saying, you know what? Dez is actually right. You might not agree with the way he did it, but in some ways they're saying he's right as far as when he calls out the play calling, when he calls out the offense. Remember, at the end of last season, before the last game, there was a report that several Cowboys were questioning the way they were running the offense. So I think he actually may have saved himself a little face instead of it letting it look like they were just scapegoating him and going at him.
Look, there's no bigger Dez Bryant fan than me in his prime. Even before his prime, when he came out of Oklahoma State, everyone I talked to there, a place that I went to school and played sports at, they would always say on a Saturday, now obviously on a Sunday, no guy you'd want to go get a football in the air. An incredible competitor. But this was an awful Friday, and it got worse over the weekend when he tweeted out that the Cowboys never helped him. Like, look, Dez Bryant needs to walk away from either the keyboard or the phone because it's getting worse, not better. And he, if the Browns are going to give him a contract, he'd thank his lucky stars. They're probably the only team in the National Football League that are impervious to this nonsense because they're at the absolute bottom. And think about it. If the Browns, who need a wide receiver, right, because because somebody they're counting on had to walk away from football before training camp. If the Browns need a wide receiver and they don't offer you a deal, who will? Look, this is Dez Bryant. This is the height of immaturity. The difference between children and adults, right? True maturity. Children say, it's always somebody else. Somebody else did it. Whereas adults are like, yeah, you know what? That's a little bit on me.
Does he not have someone around him to continue to remind him, given the fact that he's still not with a team and training camp has started and he's still looking for options at this point?
No, that was actually one of the things that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys have always done, is they've tried to put buffers between some of these personalities and the rest of the world so that they can't go on these Twitter rampages and whatever. I mean, this is what Twitter is supposed to be. There's supposed to be no filter, how somebody really feels. The only problem is the rest of the world, and especially the National Football League, doesn't like that. This is the reason, honestly, that a Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. You ask a GM, they'll say it's not about hiring Colin Kaepernick to be a backup quarterback. It's, if I cut him, will others go on Twitter rampages? Will others assume things? The problem with Dez Bryant is not if you hire Dez Bryant, if you give him a contract. The problem is if you cut him, this is what you run the risk of him doing, trying to draw a fissure between you and the rest of the team.
Well, I think one of the worst things he said, though, was about Sean Lee, or Snake Lee, as he called him. Like, unless, you know, you have to quit taking shots at Sean Lee and maybe other players unless you have definitive proof. Now, Sean Lee even admitted they butted heads, okay? So Dez may think that because Sean Lee was the type of player to go back at him and say, look, you got to cool it with these emotional rants or whatever Sean Lee told him, but apparently he would give him constructive criticism. Maybe Dez thinks that is why, you know, that Sean has something to do with him being out of there. I mean, did he? I have no idea. Sean Lee obviously called it absurd and denied it, but unless you know for a fact and you're willing to say, look, Sean Lee did this or that or such and such a thing, then you need to stop throwing out the conspiracy theories. Well, that's one of the worst things I think you did.
You and I have worked at other places before, right? Yeah. And when you leave, this has a tendency to happen, right? They'll say like, oh, you know what? That guy didn't do this. Like, wait. When I was there, we were all good. You offered me a contract to stay, and I just thought, this is what happens when you're not there. And I'm sure if you're Dez Bryant, you sit there and go, wait a second, I was the face of the Dallas Cowboys. Romo kept getting hurt. I was here. I played through my foot. I hurt my foot. I came back as quickly as I could. Jason Witten retires, goes to Monday Night Football. He gets this, you know, hero send-off. Yeah. Sean Lee keeps getting hurt and comes back, and it's like he's a saint. Meanwhile, all I'm out there doing is try and battle every Sunday to catch touchdown passes, and this is how you treat me. So I understand the emotions of it, but, dude, you're going to go at your teammates and say that they were – it was like Brutus stabbing you in the back on the way out the door. That is a really dumb play if you don't have a contract in the league.
What does Dez do now? This is the problem for Dez, which
I think people understand. There's some people that are like, well, why doesn't Dez Bryant become Larry Fitzgerald? You know, Larry Fitzgerald, 5 years ago or so, they moved him in the slot and he didn't like it. But he's accepted it, embraced it, and now become a dynamic even in Larry Fitzgerald 2.0. You're starting to understand the difference between Larry Fitzgerald, who was always a disciplined route runner, was always disciplined off the football field. Dez Bryant lacks that discipline. Yeah. He doesn't have the discipline to not go back at teammates. That's why he doesn't have the discipline to be a better blocker, to be a better teammate, to be a better route runner. Otherwise, he should play. He should be like Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin couldn't run past anybody the last 10 years in his career, but he was so bright and he understood the locker room so well that he worked, and he was the guy you had to have on your team. Whereas Dez Bryant, what the Cowboys are saying without saying is, you know what? He's super talented, but we're better off without him, even if we don't have the best of Dez Bryant, because it's everything else.
As far as what he could do to rectify this whole situation, I think the only thing he can do now, he can't come out and just say, hey, I apologize. I don't think, because it'll seem disingenuous. I think what he needs to do is when people ask him about it now or he's confronted with it, just say, hey, look, I said my piece. You know, maybe I went off a little. It was a misunderstanding because the quotes were mistweeted. But I've moved past it and I'm ready to get with my next team. Like, don't let it drag out.
You can't call Sean Lee a snake and then bring and be like, oh, my bad, I misread that quote. Like,
well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the reason he went off to begin with. There's really no rectifying the Sean Lee thing unless he just comes out and says, you know, I was wrong. I apologize. I had
bad information. Yeah. I had low blood sugar. I was hangry.
Hangry always works. We'll talk more about Dez's options later in the show. But coming up, will Tom Brady's legacy be tainted late in his career? That is next on First Things First. for their 9th season together as teammates. However, Edelman will miss the first 4 games of the season due to violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. Both Edelman and Brady share the same trainer, Alex Guerrero. Brady was asked if there was a connection between PEDs and Guerrero, and he wasn't too happy.
Tom, when Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just, what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comments. It's just ridiculous.
Tom,
I'm out.
See you guys.
Doug, he's out.
Mamba out. Drop the mic, walk away.
Will Alex Guerrero leave a stain on Tom Brady's career?
I don't think so. I mean, listen, I hate to say what a guy's body looks like determines whether or not he's on performance-enhancing drugs, but we're like a week, week and a half removed from Tom Brady's man bod being all over TMZ, you know? Right, so
he made me feel good about my body when I saw that.
Yeah, I was like,
I was like, man, I'm doing
okay. There's so many other little things. There's Deflategate, right? There's Spygate, and now there's, I guess, Guerrero-gate, you could call it. I thought it was a very, not only fairly asked question, but I thought, like, what's your reaction? Like, go ahead. Like, we're just serving it up for you. You can give us whatever reaction. And even though, when he says, I have no comment, it's ridiculous, and he politely walked away, the idea that he shut it down, I thought was a missed opportunity. It reminded me, and maybe it's because I was watching old movies on the way out here, right? It reminded me of Clear and Present Danger. It's an old Tom Clancy novel. And Jack Ryan is in the Oval Office, and he's sitting next to the president, and one of the president's best friends was killed by some drug lords because he was laundering drug money. And everybody in the Oval Office was telling the president of the United States to distance yourself from your friend. But Jack Ryan, a CIA agent, is like, no, they're going to go back and find photos. They know you've been, don't say your friends, say you're lifelong friends. If I'm Tom Brady, don't distance yourself. Don't say it's ridiculous. Don't be defensive. Just say, look, I've worked with Alex Guerrero for the last decade, last 15 years. And everything we have done is by the book, and it's about flexibility. It's so good, in fact, that we wanted Julian Edelman. We want Rob Gronkowski. We want him around the Patriots. And yeah. I'm devastated for what's happening to Julian, how we're looking at him late in his career, in which he's having an unbelievable run, made that unbelievable catch in the Super Bowl. But it has nothing to do with Alex Guerrero. Instead, he gets defensive, and now we all start thinking, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, look, I think you make a good point. I'm not looking at it like there's something there. I think he could have handled it better. But to answer your question, no, this won't taint his legacy one bit. You mentioned Deflategate, Spygate. Have they tainted his legacy? Not at all.
A little bit.
He's still regarded as the GOAT by many people, or at least in the conversation with Joe Montana. So to me, that can't put a stain on your legacy. If they're still looking at you as the GOAT, then your legacy is not tainted.
But if he plays,
are small footnotes, I'll give you that.
But if you play till you're 45 and he plays at the level, the incredible thing about Brady is there has been very little slippage, if any, for the last couple
MVP last year.
With considering the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
And now we're in your 40s. You get to 45, and the question becomes, how is he doing this? And even though his body doesn't look like one that traditionally would be taking PEDs, how is he staying healthy? How is he getting up off of the turf after all of these hits? And then Alex Guerrero is the trainer to those guys. It's a natural mental connection for us to make. And I do think that
the way he handled the quote, you think now people are saying,
is there a part of him? This was his first media session, though, in like a month. Yeah. Is there a part of him that just wanted to shut it down? That didn't even want this to be a lingering topic.
And look, if we're going to be totally fair, we don't know if he was answering questions for 25 minutes.
I think he had answered several questions. And the way he ended it, I mean, I think he was a bit bothered. He said it's ridiculous, but he wasn't rude. It was like, I'm out. Like, I think he had been sitting there answering questions for maybe 5 minutes or so and addressed a few issues, football-related issues. So it was like, I'm out. See you guys. It wasn't that bad. We've both seen much worse than that. And I think he's saying that's ridiculous. Look at Alex Guerrero and the players that have worked with him. Started with Willie McGinnis, you got Gronkowski, you got Brady. None of them have been associated with PEDs. So if I'm in his shoes, I can see how he's thinking, that's ridiculous. This is one player No one else has been accused of that. I've never been accused of that. You guys have seen me at the beach. I don't look like I'm using PEDs. Yeah, like, but I get
that's,
it.
That's all he had to do to answer that question that way. You guys have seen me at the beach.
He could have done it differently.
It's one guy. But instead, no comment. That's ridiculous. Shut it down. Just be Tom Brady. Like, the thing about quarterbacks, and you guys have seen them and worked with them and been on this show with them, and we all know them as regular people. They do have this way in which they start talking, and you'll believe anything that they say. I mean, real quarterback walks in, and they win the locker room.
Yeah.
They win every room they're in. And if you're Tom Brady, just do that. Just be Tom Brady. Guys, you know me. You saw me. I mean, if you did the self-deprecating, you saw my body with Giselle last week on TMZ. Like, come on. Like, really? Are we talking about this? Like, it's Alex Guerrero. It's all about flexibility. It's all about diet. It's all about nutrition. It's all about knowing all these things. It's all about staying away from sugar, which apparently Sarah can't stay away from sugar. She's been pounding candy during break.
Here's another thing, though, and I'm not going to suggest that if Tom Brady was ever accused of PEDs, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a big deal. It'd be a big deal. But let's be honest. In football, it is not viewed, using PEDs is not nearly as bad in terms of perception as baseball, track and field, bicycling with Lance Armstrong. I mean, we see players, great players, all the time. PED use, 4-game suspension, and then they're back and it's not a big deal. So I don't think this isn't on Brady.
Right.
This is some type of association, I guess, with his trainer. But to think that in football is going to taint his legacy, I don't think it's a big deal.
Does it help Guerrero's around camp?
I think it's interesting. I mean, that people, we want to think that there's this gigantic gap between Alex Guerrero and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, right? Because he used to have the office inside the stadium, and then he was persona non grata last year, and all reports are he's back around camp. Right. I think this is probably being underreported. I think it is. I don't know. I think we're kind of connecting a bunch of different things, but the idea that all those guys hate each other and they can't get along, I would run counter to the facts if Alex Guerrero is, in fact, as being reported, is around camp more often. Look, I don't think I don't think Spygate has anything to do with him. I thought Deflategate was a joke because I think every quarterback, just like every point guard, wants the ball the way they want the ball. We shouldn't even have any rules as to what the ball should be measured as. And I think, you know, frankly, if you look back, it's when he called out the Ravens for not knowing the rule book the week before, and they called their guys an Indy, and that's why they checked on the footballs. It's all kind of gamesmanship. But you can't tell the whole story of the Patriots without saying, hey, there was Tuck Rule, then there was Spygate, then there was Deflategate, and then there was this weird thing at the end where they trade away Garoppolo, right? They trade away Brissett, and then you couldn't tell if those two guys got along, and the trainer thing, and then the trainer's link to PEDs with Edelman. Like, it's all part of the story, Chris.
Just like with Michael Jordan, Atlantic City, you know, gambling, you know, before, during the series with the Knicks. Like, that's in the punching Steve Kerr. Those are footnotes, but they don't stand a chance up against 5 Super Bowls, 3 MVPs, 40 years old MVP. I mean, you know, so small things.
Good roll, Q.
Nothing
We're
big.
Flipping to hoops. Coming up, is Mike D'Antoni delusional with his latest comments? That's next on First Things First. Impressive season, scoring a career-high 27 points per game last season. However, he's still in the gym, and he's getting stronger. Check out the picture he posted on Instagram with his brother in the weight room.
Now, granted, he's holding the weight, so he's probably looking a little bit bigger than he is, but that's impressive. That's impressive.
He's legitimately a freak.
Yeah, the only thing that matters is, can he shoot, right?
If he can. That's not going to help the J.
No,
is it?
No, but, look, if you can, he's got to. I want to see, just keep working on this.
Wow, I'm impressed,
but
though.
He also came in as a child, now he's a man. Get his man muscles, but he's swole.
I like that. He's a lot of people's pick for MVP. I got LeBron. Preseason, that's my pick for MVP. Preseason, who's yours?
Well, Giannis has got a great shot, especially how he started, and they keep building kind of the team around him, giving him space.
You got to win 50 plus.
They'll win more this year.
50?
Yeah. No, they won't be having the, yeah, in the
Maybe
East.
They might, because Budenholzer's a great
player. Right,
I think Boston will split up all their
to.
Stats.
We'll save that for later. Time for some stories to start your morning. Andrew Luck looks to be returning to form, going 19 for 22 in a practice with full pads on Sunday. Doug, do you think Andrew Luck has a bounce back year?
Well, I mean, he didn't play last year, so if he plays this year, he will by definition have a... Yes! Everyone has so quickly forgotten he engineered the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL's playoffs. He won 33 games his first 3 years before he started playing hurt with a ridiculously bad roster. They've rebuilt the offensive line. Will they be great? No. But they'll be decent enough in that division, which has always, you know, Houston's never had the offense. Jacksonville's never had a quarterback. Tennessee, I don't know if Mariota is as good as his reputation would lead you to believe. I do think that Indy will be better than people think, because when Andrew Luck is healthy, his teams are better than you would think.
They will be good. He will be great. He will be great. Yes, this season he'll be. Frank Reich is great with quarterbacks, and it's not like he doesn't have the material to work with. Andrew Luck, I think he's going to have a bounce back season and be fantastic.
Moving on, a presentation from NFL refs left several Eagles players confused about the new NFL rules. According to Eagles players, the refs could not answer the players' questions about how the rules would be applied. Chris, what do you make of these rule changes?
Look, you read that story or reports about this meeting, and the defensive players were saying, how are we supposed to make tackles? Okay, running backs were saying, if it's third and one, I've been taught since I was yay high to put my helmet in the guy's numbers and run through him. How am I supposed to do that? Look, I'm all for making the game safer. But when the players and the referees don't understand the rules and have a clear understanding, I actually think you're putting the players in more danger, because this is a sport, any sport really, but specifically football, you cannot be hesitant. You can't be thinking too much. You can't be wondering, can I put my head here? Can I hit him like that? You do that and you will get hurt. So I think they're putting the players in more danger unless they have clear-cut changes in the rules.
Everyone knows the rule of football. See what you hit. And it's a little disingenuous of some of these players saying, hey, I was told to put my head right in their numbers. Yes, see what you hit. Will there be some, will they work through the kinks of the new interpretation of the helmet rules? Absolutely. Will there be some penalties that err on the side of safety? Sure. But you know what we don't want? We don't want any more Ryan Shaziers. We don't want superstar linebackers that you build your franchise around to being carted off the field wondering if they'll ever walk again.
Injuries are a part of the game. Unless they make it flag football, you're going to have dudes going down sometimes.
Moving on, Doug, we know you like this. The PGA announced a significantly revamped schedule for the 2018-19 season. The biggest change involves moving the PGA Championship from August to May. Doug, how big of a deal is this?
They haven't done it since 1947, I believe. Look, I'm all for all sports readjusting their calendar to stay the hell away from football. Okay? College basketball should stay away from college football. Start your season during the Christmas break and play May Madness. I think baseball should end earlier. Don't end in late October. End right at around Labor Day, right? Labor Day is when we should be having the playoffs before football gets underway. And golf is not waving the white flag. Golf's going after the playoffs in the NBA. They're saying May. We're going Masters. The Players' Championship is earlier. Everything is going to be condensed and early in the year. But more than anything, I think it's the PGA taking a shot at readjusting their calendar, understanding that viewership has changed and earlier is, in fact, better. Don't compete against the prime of baseball and the start of football.
Here's the thing, Doug. It was mid-August, though, right?
Yeah.
The PGA Championship. I mean, football was, we're talking about practices and preseason and all that, but you're not playing games yet. Baseball, you're coming down the home stretch, but you're not quite there yet. Now you're going to go against the NBA playoffs. I actually think August was, because, as far as actual games, there's not a ton going on besides baseball. I thought that was a good spot for it. Now, if the NBA playoffs are hot and competitive, which they may not be because of Golden State, this could, give them something to compete with.
I don't know if the actual dates are perfect, okay? It's not that. It's the idea, though. Don't you hate it when somebody says, why do you always do it then? Well, that's because that's how we've always done it, right? Like, change something, try something, try to change the dates around.
Yeah.
LeBron tried something. He's finally spoke on his move to Los Angeles. In uninterrupted video, James said playing for the Lakers is a dream come true. Chris, when do you think that LeBron actually decided he wanted to come to L.A.?
I think he's been thinking L.A. for a long time. Maybe he's probably been thinking about it for a year and a half, if not a little bit longer. There were rumors a couple years ago that he might go to L.A. when he was a free agent. And then when he took into consideration his family, when I really began to believe, he's going to L.A., was when he said it's going to be about winning have an opportunity to win, and my family. And I knew he didn't want to be bouncing around with his kids, sending them to different high schools. Philadelphia, he didn't have the roots there. L.A., he had the roots because they had been living there, had houses there in the summer. His kids probably had friends and stuff there already. So that's when I began thinking it was the Lakers. What I was told by people close to him was that he was leaning L.A. for a while, but he wasn't 100% sure. He sat down with Magic, and I'm not saying Magic convinced him. He was already pretty much convinced. He just wanted to make sure, you know, everything went well in the meeting. There were no surprises or anything, and then he decided to do it.
Look, I think that it's probably, the answer is probably more than a year, right? Kyrie Irving knew, the handwriting was on the wall. It wasn't just the circus, but he didn't want to be what Kevin Love is, right? The last guy hanging around with a team that can't win a championship. That sounds great, and it's awesome on the 1st and the 15th, but it's not great when everybody's playing when it matters and you're sitting at home. So I'm guessing it's been more than a year. When you purchase a couple of houses, when you're out in Los Angeles, yeah, it's just like when you're here in New York City, you're like, man, what would it be like to play for the Knicks? It's pretty enticing. And then you factor in that Magic was clearing up the cap space, the fact that the infighting had died down within the Buss family as to who was running the team. Like, all
that
of these
things.
They
gave Kentavious Caldwell-Pope $18 million.
Right, and then
Rich Paul.
And then Rob Pelinka, who's, of course, you know, runs the team, was talking about Rich Paul and talking about,
like he was,
like he was the world's greatest agent ever. And man, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he said he's like Hana, right? It's like
manna from heaven. He was talking about Genesis, the book of Genesis.
I mean, everybody's like, what is he doing? So it's pretty obvious that there has been a plan in place for quite a while. But for some reason, people act like that should take away from the fact that he's wearing a Lakers jersey.
I was going to say, does the cachet of the organization make the biggest difference?
No.
As far as why he went there?
Yeah, you think it's L.A.?
Well, look, LeBron's a big-time historian of the game. So I think both. I think the city of L.A. is certainly an attraction. And the fact that he's got his shows are moving to HBO, his show The Shop. And, you know, he's talking with directors about things and producers. So he has a lot in motion that you think these things were in motion months ago before he went to L.A. But the Lakers franchise, too, like, he never considered the Clippers.
Yeah.
And if they were the only franchise in L.A. and they were as poor as they have been, I don't know that he would have went to L.A. So I think it was both.
You still getting used to seeing him in that jersey?
Yeah, it's going to be weird. But it's not the first other jersey that
exactly.
he's worn, right? It's
exactly.
not like it's not
that
like the first time you see a guy, Joe Montana in a Chiefs jersey, like, what? That doesn't make
that
any
never
sense.
Never sat well with you.
All right, moving on to the Houston Rockets. They were one win away from upsetting the Warriors and taking a trip to the NBA Finals. Over the weekend, they signed Clint Capela to a 5-year extension, and they will reportedly bring in Carmelo Anthony to help them take down Golden State in the 2019 version of this challenge. Head coach Mike D'Antoni likes their chances.
If we're going to beat Golden State, which everybody's searching for, you got to take some chances and you got to hope things hit out and you got to hit that sweet spot. Doesn't mean it'll happen, but I'm confident and I love our guys and I think the worst we're going to be is great and hopefully we can take that last step.
Chris, is Mike D'Antoni delusional about the Rockets' chances?
Not at all. I'm serious. They are going to be great. I mean, everybody's talking like the Rockets have fallen off. Everybody's talking like, oh, they'll do what they did last year and, you know, be great in the regular season. And they were great in the playoffs. Do we forget that they were up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors, who everybody thinks is unbeatable, including LeBron James, thinks they're unbeatable, at least right now, until Chris Paul went down? I mean, your second best player, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest point guards ever, goes down, or maybe you are in the finals and win the NBA championship. So one thing we've learned about James Harden and Mike D'Antoni, they will win regular season games. Harden by himself, if Chris Paul wasn't there, they're going to win over 50, probably 55. With Chris there, they can win, you know, many more than that if they really push it. Mike D'Antoni, his system, they will win games. He has the players to fit into it. I think Carmelo Anthony, look, I'm not going to say he's what he was 7 years ago and he's going to be superb there. I think there'll be times at the end of games where he's not even on the floor and James Ennis will be there for defense or whatever. But he does give them more play in the mid-range, along with Chris Paul, that answers some of their deficiencies. If they're smart, they looked at Golden State and said, you know what? Maybe we've taken the analytics a little too far, and all we want to do is shoot threes and dunk, whereas Golden State shoots threes, has great mid-range play, great, you know, movement, and they get backdoor layups. Now with Chris Paul and Melo, you got two really good mid-range players, so you don't have to go 0 for 27 from three. Stop shooting threes and take some 19-footers if that's the case.
Well, okay, there's a couple of things. First, do you think they're better or worse roster-wise when you lose Mbah Moute, you lose Trevor Ariza, and you add Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career?
I like last year's roster better. Right. I will give you that. And they're going to miss Ariza and Mbah Moute. I think James Ennis can fill in a little bit of that defensively.
Yes.
I think Gerald Green, who will play more, can fill in a little bit from the three-point line. So I'm with you on the roster being more preferable last year, but I don't think it declined to the point that they're not clearly the second-best team in the league, not just the West.
No question. I mean, look, people do misremember. They just forget the fact that the Rockets were a dominant team in the regular season, the fact that the Rockets were up 3-2. We also forget that Andre Iguodala didn't play at the end of that series, and now the Warriors, we think, will have gotten better if they add DeMarcus Cousins. Like the Melo thing makes it fascinating. He and Mike D'Antoni did not get along. Mike D'Antoni wants ball movers. Yeah. He's a ball stopper. Yeah. It did not get along. And you bring another scorer in to a team that has two other dominant scorers, and it didn't work last year in Oklahoma City. What makes you think it worked this year in Houston, especially when Houston had proven many of the skeptics, myself included, wrong, that they could not and would not guard anybody at the end of playoff games? That was the difference in the Rockets. It wasn't necessarily Chris Paul on offense. It was that Chris Paul had a toughness on defense. Right. Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, Clint Capella. And they could all hide with James Harden, where he would pressure the ball. You'd go by, and they'd have shot blockers everywhere, and they'd rotate. So they had proven so many of us wrong because they had evolved into this defensive, tough juggernaut that could switch and funnel you to Clint Capella. And now you got another guy who can't guard anybody on that roster, likely in their first five, in their finishing five. Look, I think they will be one of the two or three elite teams in the NBA, but I do think that they also got worse, whereas I believe the Warriors have gotten better. I think the Warriors' bench was their weakness, and, of course, their starting center was weak. Yeah. And if DeMarcus Cousins is 85% of what he was before he got hurt, I think the Warriors have gotten better and the Rockets have gotten worse.
Our friend Nick Wright loves to pull up the stat, or did throughout the season, 42-3 with James Harden, Clint Capella, and CP3 last year. Do you worry still about Chris Paul's health? Linger? They rely so much. I mean,
only Derrick Rose has seemingly been hurt in more playoff games than Chris Paul. And I love, like, Chris Paul plays the way I wish I could have been able to play, right? Like, this is not a knock on Chris Paul. It's just the facts that, and the older you get, like the end of that 4-year contract he just signed, that is not going to age well when you're already blowing hamstrings at 33 and he's had a litany of other nicks and injuries. So, of course, like, that's the hesitance is, does he get hurt? The hesitance, does Melo get hurt? Remember, Melo's last 2 years in New York, he got hurt at the end of the season. Yeah. They shut it down. That's not going to get better. That's going to get worse. The one caveat I would tell you in terms of Carmelo Anthony, because I don't buy into this Carmelo, I didn't have enough time in Oklahoma City last year. Like, dude, you had training camp in 82 games. If you couldn't figure out your role by then, that's on you, right? That's not on anybody else. But he's only making $5 million. And it's different when you can cut a guy. It's different when you're not making $27 million and got another year where they have to be nice to you. Now, if Carmelo Anthony is ever going to be coached in his career and accept coaching, it's going to be right now, because this is the end of the road and his last chance at a championship.
I agree.
Defensively, though, Chris, and since you are high on what the Rockets are, and I agree that they are by far the second best team in the league, but their identity was built so much, yes, Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker, but Trevor Ariza, and even Mbah Moute, though he didn't contribute that much in the postseason, his attitude, his mentality, how much of a hit does this team take this season?
I'm with Doug. End? They're not as good as they were last year. I mean, they will miss those two guys, Ariza and Mbah Moute. There's no question. But people acting like they're going to fall to the fifth seed, you know, they're going to struggle. I still think they're better than all the other teams in the league except Golden State.
And Boston.
Boston would be a good matchup. Boston stuff. Let's see what Boston looks like.
And I'll tell you a team that got better. The Oklahoma City Thunder got better.
Well, okay, there are a lot of teams that got better. San Antonio got better because Kawhi wasn't there last year.
They added Dennis Schroeder as a starting point guard as their off-the-bench point guard. They got rid of Carmelo Anthony. They'll get Andre Robertson back. If Robertson comes back from that knee injury, I know he can't make any sort of shots, but he unbelievable defensive presence. I think Oklahoma City is closer to Houston, way closer to Houston, than they were going back to last season.
Second year of Paul George.
Yes.
He's acclimated. All right, coming up, to the Raptors have a reason to hope Kawhi will stick around for the long haul. That's next on First Things First. Back here on First Things First, and we are talking Kawhi Leonard. He is now officially a Raptor, getting ready for the 2018-19 season after only playing 9 games last year with the Spurs. First-time head coach Nick Nurse said he had a great first conversation with Kawhi. Chris, any chance the Raptors can convince Kawhi to stay past this season?
Only in the never say never sense, like anything can happen type of sense. So practically speaking, there's virtually no chance. But what I'm told, and if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I am ultra excited about this season. This is look at it as 1 year in the East. I can go dominate that conference. I can get this team to the finals. They won 59 games, and with me and Danny Green, we got better. We got better three-point shooting-wise. We got better defensively. He should look at this as an opportunity to prove, in his mind, I'm the best player in the world. I can dominate the East like LeBron James did and lead my team to the finals and, you know, see what happens from there. So I'm sure he had a good meeting with Nick Nurse, the new coach, because from what I'm told, that's the attitude that Kawhi has. But I think it'll be a one-year thing. People act like if you go to the finals, he can't leave. If he goes to the finals, leads them to the finals, and plays well in that championship series, then he walks out in a blaze of glory. You know, that's better than leaving when you go to the second round and out. So I still think L.A. is front and center in his mind, Lakers or maybe the Clippers. So I think it's a one-year rental, but they'll be really good.
I would guess it's a one-year rental, but I can't find an NBA player that isn't blown away by going to Toronto, right? They're all like, man, you ever been to Toronto?
Well, how many want to stay there?
But Kawhi's also a different cat now. And while you always think L.A., I'm from Southern California. I went to 2 schools. They weren't in Southern California because you do. Sometimes you're like, man, I love that it's 75 and sunny every single day. But there is a difference to that lifestyle. And maybe the fact that everywhere LeBron goes, there's cameras and attention. And he's not into that. Maybe that's not his lifestyle. Maybe he does love it. Look, I think he's going to L.A. I think he'll wear a Laker uniform. The Lakers think he'll wear a Laker uniform. Most people in the NBA do. But I give it a better than you think chance because they did have the best record in the East. They are going to build around him, and they got a shot. They got an absolute shot. And it's instead of a recruiting visit, this is, hey, come play here for a year. Yeah. And if you don't want to stay, fine. As for whether or not he had a great meeting with Nick Nurse or didn't, I have no reason to believe that Nick Nurse is lying, but I have no reason to believe that Nick Nurse is telling the truth. I think Nick Nurse is doing what's smart, which is, man, it was great. Never let anybody think it was anything other than great.
But don't you think, I mean, I was surprised. Nick Nurse said he was surprised that he was asking so many questions. Where am I going to get the ball? How are you going to use me? Where are you going to put me within the offense? And Nick Nurse said, I went through all the different scenarios of how we could play, pick and roll, coming off, pinned out, you know, the whole variety of things. And Kawhi said, yeah, you're going to use all of those things. Don't you think that is a positive that Kawhi was so intent in asking exactly how he was going to fit in rather than just
But just the fact that he was actually, he was moving his mouth and words were coming out, I think was probably pretty surprising to Nick. It's like, wow, he actually speaks. He wasn't in the box and doing the mime thing. Kawhi's a really bright guy. He's just different. He lets other people often do his talking about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, but no one's ever said that Kawhi Leonard's a dope, and he knows at some point he has to take control of his career because you can't not play for a second season, you know, play 9 games in 2 years, and if you want to get the most money possible in the best situation possible, the best way to do it is go out and play. And I have no reason to believe that Nick Nurse didn't offer up some ideas on where they want to use him. I mean, he probably said, hey, I'm open to ideas as well. I think Kawhi Leonard could be could be the best player in the league, as you said, in the years to come as LeBron ages, because he can be a small ball five. He was a center in high school, and he's the one guy who can actually score down there and not just be a perimeter player who has to learn to score down there. So I think there's a lot of things to take from it.
I think part of this, too, is he's just happy to be out of San Antonio.
Yes.
He's happy to be in a new, fresh situation where, look, the Spurs are the Patriots of the NBA. And everything is, you do it this way. Now, Popovich is a coach who is versatile and will adjust his strategies, but it's still front office, head coach, this, we make the decisions. And now he's in Toronto where I'm sure they're catering to him. Yes. Look, like you said, where do you want the ball? How you want to do it? And he's into that, I'm sure. And that's one way they're going to recruit him, like OKC did with Paul George. To your point, though, I agree with you. I'm not sure going to L.A. is the best thing for Kawhi. You know, it's hard to be at home. You know, it takes a special player to, you know, be at home and not get distracted and all of that. But right now, in Kawhi's mind, L.A.'s where he wants to go. But I'm with you on it might be better off somewhere else.
Are we at all overlooking the balance Nick Nurse is going to have? They revamped the offense last season, right, and it took a while for a guy like Kyle Lowry, yeah, DeMar DeRozan, but now he's gone, but to get adjusted, to not have the ball stick, not have. Is there a balance between appeasing Kawhi, making sure you're running things through Kawhi because he's the best player, and also making sure Kyle Lowry isn't just pushed to the side given the type of player he is he needs to have the ball as well?
In all candor, you cover the East, you know, far more than probably we even do in terms of seeing every game. But my sense is that one of the things that makes Kawhi so great is he plays both ends. He does move the ball. And though he needs it, it's not like he wants to dominate at the top of the key like a LeBron does or like a Kevin Durant does, where the entire offense shuts down until he does what he does. So I think that this version of Toronto fits him better, frankly, than it did DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
Right? Like, I think Toronto got better in this deal.
No question.
Short term.
Yeah.
Long term, probably not. But he's a better fit for ball movement, player movement, pace and space, spreading out around that three-point line, as opposed to DeMar DeRozan, who, if you went back 15 years ago, you'd rather have DeMar DeRozan because he's the closest thing to a Kobe-like scorer we have in the NBA.
Yeah. Do we keep the Clippers in mind as well still? We keep talking Lakers?
Yes. Clippers are just as convinced as the Lakers that they're getting him. Now, I would put the Lakers as a front runner, but what I've been told is he wants to go to L.A. It could be either team. He just wants to be in L.A. So I would give the Clippers a shot, and I put Jerry West as a big reason I give them a shot. But I still think the question is going to come down for Kawhi. Does he want to kind of be in LeBron's shadow? You go to the Lakers, it's going to be mostly about LeBron James. You'll be obviously a great player there. But do you want to be in his shadow, or do you want to kind of have your own team, maybe with a Jimmy Butler? That's the thing. The Clippers can bring another star free agent there, too.
It's
going to be
Clippers. It's in New York. Nobody says, I want to go to the Nets or go to the
Chris
Mets.
Chris is so good because he always tees us up for our next topic. It's coming up. Is LeBron James stealing the shine from his own son? That's next and First Thing First. Sunday at 3 Eastern on Fox, or stream it on the Fox Sports app.
It's truly outstanding.
We'll get to LeBron in a minute, but first, twins at Red Sox, Jackie Bradley Jr. making the insane catch. Take a look at that.
Heck of a grab. Outstanding.
Nice
Hits
to see
the
a
wall.
Nice to see a Red Sox highlight that isn't Mookie Betts, although every highlight should have Mookie Betts, but man, Jackie Bradley Jr. Why is it? Maybe it's the dimensions of Fenway, but it always seems like out in center field, that's where the spectacular grabs happen.
Someone's making a huge leap.
Yeah, or somebody's falling into the right field bullpen.
Moving on, Browns training camp. Jarvis Landry shakes a defender. This little double move there.
Is that defender still on the squad?
I don't know.
I mean, that was bad. That wasn't the greatest move ever. My goodness.
Oh,
I like the move.
It was a great move, but it was worst defense.
It was a solid move. Come on.
Oh,
my gosh.
Jocks. Looks quicker there.
Carry.
Finally.
New lingerie. Right? That's what Raftery says.
Right.
Steelers camp. Check out Antonio Brown making the one-handed grab.
That when you do that, you can come in the camp on a helicopter.
Yeah. I love when the safety and the cornerback are yelling at each other, you guys didn't have any chance. That's Antonio Brown.
Outstanding.
Pretty good throw, too, by the way, from Big Ben.
Yep, perfect placement.
Mm.
That's beautiful. All right, moving on to LeBron James. He put on a show for the fans at his son's AAU game. Throwing down some dunks, LeBron has admitted he would love to play with his son in the NBA one day. Chris, is LeBron taking attention away from Bronny?
You know, I can see why people might say that, but I wouldn't say that. I'm looking at this as from a fan's perspective. If I'm sitting in that gym and LeBron James gets in the layup line and starts doing dunks, I mean, that's the greatest thing I could see as a fan. So I love, and if I'm one of the players in the layup line, forever now, they will be able to say, I was in the layup line with LeBron James. So I'm cool with it. The fact of the matter is this. LeBron James just shows up at the game, sits down in the bleachers. He's taking attention away from Bronny and the rest of the kids. He's that big where just being there is going to take attention away from him. And then you see from the videos that are out there how animated he gets. Being animated is going to take attention away from it. Getting it with the team in the huddle and kind of coaching them up, that's going to take attention. We could sit there and nitpick and say, oh, he needs to just sit down, be quiet, give the attention to the kids. He's just being who he is, having fun with them. As long as Bronny's cool with it, as long as Bronny's not at home like, Dad, you know, why don't you, then I'm cool with it.
Bronny actually threw down on, and I didn't, he
did. He didn't quite make, he missed one, right? Did he try to throw down
a
dunk?
He made one earlier,
he missed one a week ago or so in a game.
In a game, yeah.
But he actually made one in layup line, throwing it up to himself.
Oh, he did it?
Yeah,
I saw some.
He threw one down. Like, look, there's a bunch of, first of all, the most dated rule in sports has been eliminated, at least in college basketball, which you can now dunk when the refs are out there. Like, refs are out here, you can't dunk anymore.
We weren't allowed to dunk when I played high school. I would have been dunking off on the show.
Yep.
Well, no, I mean, but look, there used to be a use before breakaway rims, before they fixed the backboards. You ran the risk of, and he's not hanging on the rim there. It is weird.
I can get why people might say
it. It's a little weird, like, dude, really? Like,
you went I think that's so special. I'm with you. You're a kid.
Oh, my God.
Imagine you're a high school kid.
I get the greatest player
on the planet.
I get all that. So if Beyonce's kid's ever given a performance, do you think Beyonce's going to grab up and grab the mic and warm up a couple bars?
If I was trying to dance, I can't dance, and Beyonce was standing next to me, I would talk about that moment for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like a school talent show, and her kids are up there dancing, and Beyonce goes up there and dances with them. I think
all the takeaway that you should use. Okay, I coach youth basketball. Coach my son. We have an AAU program. My dad, my late father had run for 30 years. Is he yelling at the refs? Right? Is he a positive or negative influence on the game? He's not yelling at the refs. He's not chastising. They're not chasing him off the floor. He's not, you know, MFing his kids up and down.
He did go at it with an AAU mom, he said.
He said in barbershop. He got into it with an AAU mom.
I mean, but what was it over? What was the context of it, right? Was it somebody complaining about my kid not getting enough shots or whatever? Is he usurping the power of his head coach? Is he allowing the head coach to coach Bronny? Like, these are things, if we start hearing, hey, LeBron's intimidating officials. LeBron is yelling at other kids to pass to Bronny. Right? If LeBron is giving Bronny a pass on not playing any defense, not playing the right way, then I got an issue with it. But the team won the game. And by the way, in addition to being a great experience, how intimidating is that if you're at the other end of the court?
I'm surprised the other guys weren't standing there looking.
By the way, they won the national championship. They won that game. They won that thing in layup lines because everybody else is like, oh, my God, we're playing against LeBron's kid.
Will it help Bronny to be, I mean, given the scrutiny he's under with his father being LeBron James, do you think it helps being in Los Angeles rather than being in Cleveland or being around Akron?
What I'll say is, look, being in Cleveland, the pressure may have been, you certainly didn't get as much media attention, although now with technology, you get it everywhere. But being in Cleveland, Akron, going to the same high school as LeBron, that would have been maybe more pressure than what he's going to face in L.A. But here's the thing, and I say this about the Balls. Because their dad, obviously not LeBron, but he puts that type of pressure on them with his proclamations. Looking at Lonzo, it looks like, for all his flaws, he can handle pressure. He can handle the big stage. Some of his best games were Madison Square Garden for the first time, against LeBron for the first time. So I think he's used to playing under pressure because of all the proclamations his dad made. Now I look at that with LeBron Jr., because for his whole life, he's been LeBron Jr., and everybody's compared him to his dad. Maybe that will enable him to handle pressure like very few other kids can.
And this is really unprecedented. You know, like I called Michael Jordan's kids games, but Michael Jordan wasn't at the games. He wasn't as active. He wasn't helping coach AU basketball.
And they he's what, a top 25 player in his class,
right.
Bronny. They were not that good they were good, but not on that level.
Completely correct. They were not even close. They were, you know, barely Division I players,
okay.
Really.
Yep.
And so we have not had the son of other kids. Now, in Los Angeles, you got Scottie Pippen's kid, you got Kenny Martin's kid, you have other kids now of former NBA stars. And I think the fascinating thing is going to be, wait till you see whether the high school that he picks and the AAU team they put together. Because all these kids have been moving or coming to L.A. with the private schools and playing AAU basketball for years for there. And now how are you going to turn down the chance to play for LeBron James' son's team, Bronny's team, when LeBron is going to pick up the phone and say, do you want to play for our AAU team, right? I mean, yeah. do you want to – who's going to say no to that? So it's going to be fascinating. Will it help or hurt Bronny? Doesn't really matter. There's going to be – no matter where he goes – he's LeBron James' son, and he has chosen to play a sport that LeBron James has dominated for the better part of the last decade. This is not a choice for him. This is his lifestyle. Does it get magnified in L.A.? It does, but it's just different. Just because it's bigger doesn't mean there's more attention. It's still high school basketball, but it is the biggest high school basketball stage on earth now is Southern California.
The interesting thing, too, is we've never seen, like, a super great player have a super great
That's
son.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it what maybe Barry Bonds and
Bobby
Barry
Bonds?
Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr. But neither of them obviously was on LeBron's level. Calvin Hill, football, Grant Hill, basketball.
Jalen Rose and his dad a little bit, but there wasn't a relationship there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Magic's son doesn't play ball.
Michael's
Jordan's
didn't
no.
make it. Shaq's
Larry
is
Bird
good,
didn't have one. Shaq's is going to UCLA, but he might not be as
he won't be like a Shaq. Like Will Bronny, just making it would be unusual, making it to the NBA and being a really good player. But if he becomes like a perennial all-star, like a star in the NBA, that would kind of be unprecedented.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.